Well, announcing you're giving to the poor with trumpets so that others will know what you're doing is pretty extreme, isn't it? I reckon Jesus probably meant us to smile, to chuckle when he gave that illustration. Or the idea that standing on street corners to pray so that we're noticed, or disfiguring your face so that people know you're fasting, they're quite a long way off what we might do, aren't they? I haven't noticed anybody coming into church with a disfigured face because they're fasting recently. And yet, we do like to be acknowledged and thanked, don't we? We do like people to notice us when we've done something good. We do like others to think well of us, to say nice things about us. So perhaps there is a danger that we practice our righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, as Jesus says. But that's a dangerous road to travel, isn't it? If we do what we do in order to be noticed by other people, then that is all the reward we will get. Their approval, their praise, their thanks. Verse 1, we will have no reward from our Father in heaven. So if we're always looking horizontally, looking around us at others for human approval, then our Heavenly Father will give us what we want and no more. So I myself know that I have to be careful not to preach to please you. It's always a danger. And if that's my motivation, then the only reward I will get will be an occasional comment of thanks from you, or maybe an email. I will receive no reward from my Father in heaven. So you see how dangerous road that would be to go down. And listen, the danger of preaching to please people is especially true when, as is the case today, the subject is money. Why is that? I mean, I regularly preach about God's holiness and his judgment, about our sin, about death and bereavement, about the importance of listening to God more than we listen to the world, about eternal life. There are no more important subjects than these. But I'm nervous when talking about money. About money and wealth and possessions. Why? Because just like the hypocrites blowing their own trumpets, I'm concerned about what you will think of me. See, money is a delicate subject, isn't it? It's sensitive. We never, ever tell anyone what we earn or how much savings we have. Money is a private subject because it is so very, very important to us. It's important to us because it is so closely tied up with our sense of self-worth, of our identity, of who we are. So the more money, the bigger house, the smarter car we have, the more highly we're liable to think of ourselves. And we assume that others will think more highly of us if we're wealthy. But what if we told someone about what we earned and they earned more than us? Well, that'd be humiliating, wouldn't it? And what if they had to admit that they earned more than we did? Well, that's also very difficult, isn't it? Martin Lewis knew all of this when he invested £100 in setting up his money-saving expert website. He knew that saving us money, protecting our money, was so important that, in fact, his advice about saving money made him huge amounts of money. He sold his website for £87 million. Not a bad return on £100. But that's how much we value saving a few pounds on our insurance. So if you this morning are irritated that, or even upset that we're going to have three sermons about money, Perhaps you might ask yourself whether that's because money is a bit too important to you. Remember, Jesus talked a lot about money. Radical, challenging, and very personal things. So here in Matthew 6, Jesus has just been talking about good deeds, about giving, about prayer and fasting, and the rewards that they may or may not bring us. In other words, what will we get for doing these things? What benefit is there in good deeds, in giving, in fasting, in prayer? Well, Jesus says there are two possibilities. One's a horizontal thank you, or a looking good in other people's eyes. The other possibility is a reward from your Father in heaven. Now, in verse 19, Jesus says that we have to choose between two possible treasures. Treasures on earth, horizontal treasure, if you like, and treasure in heaven, vertical treasure. And look with me what Jesus says in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So here's the question. What do you value most? What do you treasure? Let me turn it around. What do you fear losing more than anything else? What do you fear losing? What would you be most upset about if it got damaged or broken? What causes you most worry or anxiety? Or what do you spend your time wishing for? What do you long for? You see, we answer those questions truthfully, honestly, and we begin to reveal our treasure, don't we? But why are we so anxious and fearful about losing these things? It's because we treasure them. And we know that they are prone to wearing out, becoming outdated, to theft, to loss, depreciation, damage, and spoiling. Or back in the day, moths and vermin. You see, in the end, all our Christmas presents will end up in the dump or in the recycling bin. And even if we manage to keep something for our whole life, one thing's for sure, you can't take it with you. Well, I suppose you could put it in your coffin with you. Some people do that, don't they? So Jesus points to a better way, a better treasure. Verse 20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So rather than storing up for yourself stuff on earth, store up things that are and always will be valued and treasured in heaven. So imagine, in heaven, I will go to Ken and Margaret Hobbs and I will say to them, thank you so much for your godly example and hospitality to me when I was a teenager. And many of us here at St. Peter's will say to Gordon Larvey, Gordon, thank you for setting such a great example of humility and service at St. Peter's. And the Lord himself will say to them, and perhaps to you and me, well done, my good, my faithful servant. Come, I have a reward for you. So if our treasure is in heaven, we will really mean it when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come into my life. Your will be done in my life today. And then we'll work to release the redemptive power of Jesus into this world and into our lives. The power of forgiveness and reconciliation. The blessings of peace and hope. The joy of living the way we were created to live in loving, joyful obedience to the Lord Jesus. So Jesus sums it all up, doesn't he, in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If I could find out where your treasure is, what you really value more than anything else, then I'd know where your heart lay. So we need to be honest with ourselves, don't we? Where, what, who is our treasure? And is that treasure on the road to decay, depreciation, and ultimate destruction? Or is it the imperishable, undefiled, unfading treasure of heaven? Is your treasure going to end up in the dump? Or is it going to end up in heaven? Now, as we listen to Jesus in verse 22, we might wonder what on earth he's on about and how it relates to what he's just said. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is Jesus on about here? Well, the eye is the lamp of the body, says Jesus. It's what we use to understand, to interpret life and all that happens to us. That's the picture that Jesus is giving here. The eye, as we perceive what's happening around us, we then interpret life, relationships, and all that we have and all that we are. So if your eyes, if your understanding, if your interpretation of yourself and the world is healthy and good, then your life will be full of light because you will see life as it really is. You will see life as God sees it. You will see yourself as God sees you. And then you'll live as though this life is not all there is because you will live for Christ and his kingdom. But, says Jesus, if your eyes are unhealthy, that is literally, if your eyes are bad or evil, that's what the word literally means, then you won't see life as it really is. If your eyes are bad, you won't be able to see beyond the end of your nose. Instead, you yourself will be front and center of life. Life will be all about you. You will be all that matters. The kingdom of heaven won't feature. Life will be then very dark and very lonely. Without the redemptive power of Jesus, your life will be on the road to destruction, decay, and deterioration. Why? Well, the answer then is in verse 24. Because no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. A servant only has one master. If you love earthly treasure, you will never, ever love the Lord Jesus. You cannot serve two masters. You will love one and despise the other. If you love money, you will despise Jesus. You will resent his claims on your life. But you'll particularly react against Jesus when you see, when you perceive that he lays claim to the things you treasure most. And because most of us treasure money most, when we hear about Jesus' claim on our money, we get uptight and upset. But Jesus' claims are absolute and they are all-encompassing because whether you admit it or not, you are his. He made you, he redeemed you, or he offers to redeem you. And you woke up this morning only with God's permission. So your today, your everyday belongs to him. But if your eyes are good, you will recognize this. And then what Jesus says next kicks in and begins to transform you. Therefore, next verse, if in your own Bibles, you delete the little heading, do not worry. It follows immediately on. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. You can't serve two masters, but you can serve God, so don't worry. Now, perhaps you've heard Jesus' invitation to make him your master and your treasure, but frankly, you're afraid. Afraid of the consequences. Afraid of the unknown. Afraid of losing what you value so very much. Do not worry. Do not worry, says Jesus. Don't worry about your life, not even the fundamental things like what you eat or drink, your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is not your body more than clothes? You see, these aren't so much verses about the naturally anxious person as the person who is worried about what would happen if they made Jesus their master. If they made Jesus their treasure. So if you're anxious about giving yourself, your all, your whole life, everything you are, everything you have to Jesus in wholehearted commitment, these words are for you. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. They don't spend their time storing up treasures on earth and checking moneysupermarket.com. But why not? Because your Heavenly Father feeds them. And they're just birds. Are you not much more valuable than them? Of course you are. Of course you are. You are God's image and likeness. Your Heavenly Father is inviting you to come under his protection as his child. So you needn't fear letting go of what until now you've thought of as so vital. Those things you've been slaving away to protect and secure. Now you can entrust those things to your Heavenly Father and set about storing up treasure in heaven. So, Jesus concludes in verse 31. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness, his way of living, his way of life. And all these things, these little things, will be given to you as well. Where do we end up? Well, I guess the question is, can you do that? Can I do that? Can you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Well, the only way you can is if you know your Heavenly Father and the gentle care that he has for you. It's one of the reasons I'm so keen that we, as many of us as possible, read Gentle and Lowly. To discover the welcome that God gives to us. And I was just struck as we were singing earlier that song, Gentle and Lowly. He said, going off script completely. You know, when Jesus, seeing my suffering, knowing my fear, mercy compels him in love to draw near. And when failure and sin meet compassion and grace, that's when Jesus draws near to us. He's gentle and lowly. He's patient and kind with us. And therefore we can seek his kingdom first. We can seek his righteousness because he is gentle and lowly. And he invites us to come to him and, as it were, sit with him and his Father. We sit there as his brothers and sisters, sharing the same Father that Jesus has. And it's not until we begin to grasp those truths that we really can begin to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The alternative, of course, and I'll finish with this, the alternative is that you continue to trust yourself. Continue to store up those treasures that will decay, that will wear out. You'll take them to the tip and then you'll go and buy some more. And after a couple of years, it will be out of date. So you'll go and buy another one and put that one on the tip. And life will go on like that. And then you'll end up in your coffin and your favourite teddy bear or whatever it is will end up there with you. That's the only alternative. There is no other alternative to life. It is seek first the kingdom or seek first your own kingdom. It is serve one master, the Lord Jesus, or serve the other master, money. And money is a terrible master. The Lord Jesus is a gentle, kind, humble master. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you that in Jesus we can call you our Father in heaven. And we thank you that your loving care for us is far greater than we can ever imagine. Your love overflows for us. It pours out from heaven. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust you more than the temporary things of this life, particularly money and possessions. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be free from the love of money, free to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And then on the last day, to receive those wonderful words, "Well done, my good, my faithful servant, I have a reward for you." We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.